Chris Pack. He is the regional press secretary for the National Republican Congressional Committee. Thanks for joining us on the phone today, Chris.
Thanks for having me, Kyle. I appreciate it.
Well, we've had a heck of a lot of news on the congressional side. We had an incumbent in the 1st Congressional District up north say he wasn't going to run again. But we have a couple of races here in mid-Michigan that are going to be coming in 2016 that may very well be on the national radar. We've got Melissa Gilbert, who is formerly from Little House on the Prairie, running against first-term incumbent Mike Bishop. But, Chris, Melissa Gilbert has some issues that she needs to take care of, from what I understand.
Yeah, I mean, Melissa Gilbert is somebody who, I think until recently, lived in California and just, I think, in the past 2 years moved to Michigan. Maybe that was to escape her $112,000 tax lien in California and state taxes. But, yeah, she still has, I think, $360,000 in taxes owed to the IRS and said she couldn't pay them back because she was hit by the recession and, you know, she suffered hard times with everyday Michigan families. But I'm not sure everyday Michigan families have somewhere between $18,000 and $1.7 million in assets like she has and $200,000 in income a year.
Now, Melissa Gilbert's also interesting as well because her first fundraiser that she held wasn't in Michigan from what we understand, was it?
It's actually funny. No, it was in California, which I thought was funny just given the fact that there's a time change. But I think right around the same time she was having the fundraiser, she sent out a fundraising email talking about how much she likes her Michigan neighbors and how much she loves Michigan. Well, if you love Michigan so much, why are you holding your first fundraiser for Michigan's 8th Congressional District in California?
Well, now, she said that her mom wanted the honor of hosting her first fundraiser, and her mom happens to live in California. So doesn't she get a pass on that? I mean, she's just, her mom wants to help her out, so you're not going to say no to mom.
Well, no, but I mean, I think it would be okay to have you could fly her out here and have one of the fine small businesses or residences in Michigan 8, or you could have, a second. I just think it's such a bad... sends a bad message when you're trying to say you're part of the Michigan community and how you love your Michigan neighbors, yet you hold your first fundraiser with the Hollywood elite.
What is the issue that you think that Democratic candidates who are looking at running here in Michigan for Congress, now whether that be Melissa Gilbert or Gretchen Driscoll in the 7th Congressional District, what is the question that you think they need to answer on the campaign trail?
Well, I guess specifically to Melissa Gilbert, I would ask, why do you think you're qualified to serve in Congress, which in many ways sets spending levels and tax levels and things like that, when you can't even bother to pay $360,000 in taxes and need 8.5 years to pay it back? I'm not sure if your listeners have heard, but she said she had a payment plan with the IRS to pay back all of her debt, I think, by 2024. And, again, it just seems... I'm left scratching my head and wondering how she could possibly need 8.5 years to pay back all these taxes when she has somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 million to $1.5 million in assets and makes $200,000 according to her financial disclosures in income a year. So I guess that would be the main question I would have for her.
But other people have tax problems too, don't they? And doesn't Melissa Gilbert, maybe just because she deals with money that most of us can't even fathom, her problem just seems to be a little bigger than everybody else's.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think most people have tax problems to the tune of $360,000 in federal taxes. And I would probably argue that most Michigan 8 families and families around Michigan go to work and work hard each day, but still find ways to pay their taxes like they're expected to do.
Now, what about Iran? Should the Democratic candidates answer what they would do as far as the Iranian agreement that President Obama signed?
Given what a big deal this was in the past couple months, and running for office, like Congress, where you have a say in decisions like this if you get elected, I think it's something that the candidates should answer. But Gretchen Driscoll's been very quiet on it. Melissa Gilbert, she may not even know what's going on with that. But I think given how big of an issue this is, they absolutely should state their position, but they haven't.
How big of a state is Michigan going to be next year when it comes to protecting the Republicans' 59-seat majority in the U.S. House?
Obviously, this is a big priority for us. The NRCC, it's our goal to maintain and grow our majority every cycle. And right now we're, I think, at our largest majority since the Great Depression, I believe, right around 1920. It's our largest majority since then. But yeah, obviously Michigan is always a priority of ours, and it's a moderate state, but we have great candidates. We'll have a great candidate in Michigan one. We'll have a great candidate, and that's where Dan Banaschek's retiring. We'll have a great candidate in Tim Wahlberg in Michigan 7, and a great candidate in Mike Bishop. And we just think it's a matter of them getting their message out to the voters and us kind of holding the Democrats' feet to the fire and answering tough questions like where they stand on Iran, why they think it's okay to owe $360,000 in back taxes and things along those lines.
You know what I found very interesting about Congress and these congressional races is that while there's 435 seats, there's very few of them that are actually competitive, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, I would say there's a bunch of safe Democratic seats and a bunch of safe Republican seats, and then the battle that you see on TV is oftentimes for the votes in the middle. That even goes to any sort of real in a congressional district. You have your safe Democrat voters, safe Republican, and again, you're just kind of fighting for those, whether it be 20% in the middle, 10% in the middle, or what have you. Yeah, it's obviously just a battle for the middle.
And for Michigan to have three of them is a pretty a unique scenario. Chris Pack, he's with the National Republican Campaign Committee. Thanks for joining us on the broadcast today.
Appreciate it. Have a good one.